عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Tonight we're going to conclude the final verses of Surah Hud, inshallah. And next year, 2019, we're going to begin Surah Al-Ra'd, chapter 13, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا Surah Hud 121 through 123, which is the end of the chapter. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقل للذين لا يؤمنون اعملوا على مكانتكم قل للذين لا يؤمنون اعملوا على مكانتكم إنا عاملون وانتظروا إنا منتظرون ولله غيب السماوات والأرض وإليه يرجع الأمر كله فاعبده وتوكل عليه وما ربك بغافل عما تعملون وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ صدق الله العلي العظيم One of the most important fundamentals of the Islamic faith is the freedom of choice. Freedom of choice has been repeated and mentioned in this book, in the Holy Quran, many times, in many chapters, in many verses. And it is an important fundamental of our aqidah, our doctrine, our religion. And one of the verses that speaks about freedom of choice in this life, that we, the humans, we have freedom of choice. وَقُلْ لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ عَمَلُوا عَلَى مَكَانَتِكُمْ إِنَّا عَامِلُونَ It says that you have a freedom to follow the faith, and you have a freedom not to follow. Nobody can force you. But if you don't follow, it has some consequences and some retributions. Now, some people ask, then where is the freedom of choice here? You are telling me that there are some consequences and retributions. Then this means I have no freedom of choice but to follow. The answer is, religion is like the law. In fact, religion is the law. is the way and the law. The law here in this country, you may follow the law, you may not. But if you don't follow the law, you have to be prepared to pay the penalty, the retribution. Sometimes tax evasion, people don't pay taxes. Many people, rich people, celebrities, officials, leaders, political leaders, they don't pay taxes, but then they have to face consequences later on. Maybe not 3 years later, maybe 30 years later. In this country, they tell you every individual has a file. When does that file comes to surface? When you have a problem. When you have a problem, they arrest you because of one felony, but then later on they're going to take out your entire file. It's like Michael Cohen, who was sent to prison yesterday for 3 years. Because he did one felony, one crime, but later on under investigation, they found out he has many felonies, many crimes. So you have to face the retribution. You don't pay your taxes, your property tax, then you have to pay a penalty. The price is going to be doubled and tripled. Same thing with religion. Law came to regulate our life, to organize our life, to protect me. The law is supposed to protect the citizens of the country, the citizens of the land. It is for my own interest. It's for my own benefit. It's for my own protection. So if I violate this law, I have to face the consequences. Same thing with religion. Religion came to regulate my life, to protect me. Religion is for me, not against me. The right religion, when it is implemented, it's for our own moral and physical and material protection. So if we break the law of religion, then we have to be prepared for consequences. This is the meaning of freedom of choice. Nobody should force you to follow religion. But if you don't follow, in the future there are some retributions. This is exactly what this verse says, 121. وَقُلْ لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ Say to those who reject faith, اعملوا على مكانتكم إنا عاملون Act according to your position. We too are acting. وَانْتَظِرُوا إِنَّا مُنْتَظِرُونَ In 122 it says, and wait, we too are waiting to see the final results. We wait too. وَانْتَظِرُوا إِنَّا مُنْتَظِرُونَ Then in 123, it says, there are three concepts here in this short verse. They all explain to us the concept of monotheism. Three articles of monotheism are mentioned in 123, the final verse in Surah Hud. The first one, وَلِلَّهِ غَيْبُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلِلَّهِ And only to God belongs the knowledge of the unseen in the heaven and in the earth. This speaks about the knowledge of God. God's knowledge is what? Omniscient. Omniscient, it means that, number one, it is unlimited and it is complete. God's knowledge is different from my knowledge and your knowledge. Our knowledge is not omniscient. Our knowledge is not complete. Our knowledge evolves step by step. You go to kindergarten, preschool, elementary school, middle school, high school, college, university, graduate school, postgraduate. So you evolve slowly. God's knowledge does not evolve. God's knowledge, it's the same from beginning to the end. It's the same. Does not grow. He's knowledgeable from day one. And his knowledge is not detached and separated from his essence. My essence, my entity is different from my knowledge. You are the same. One day, our knowledge was zero or sub-zero. But then we started to learn. But God's knowledge was not zero. It was 100% from day one. God's knowledge is omniscient. Our knowledge, we look at things after they come into existence, we know about them. Before they come into existence, we don't know about them. God's knowledge is different. Even before we come into existence, he knows our history. He knows what will happen to us. And his knowledge is eternal too. And then the knowledge of the unseen belongs to him. What do we read in chapter 6, Surah Al-An'am? Many of you memorize this part, this verse. وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. Only God has the keys to the unseen. Nobody knows them except him. لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. He knows what goes on in land and at sea. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. This is his knowledge. He knows the unseen. He knows the future. Some people can predict the future, but the prediction is not necessarily right. Some people can forecast the weather for us, but then they come and apologize. They told us a few days ago that we're going to have rain this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Now they are apologizing. Sorry, there is no rain. Enjoy the sun. But God's forecast and God's prediction is 100%. It's certainty. It's not a mistake. There is no mistake. There is no room for error. Now, can someone else know the unseen? I'm asking you a question now, especially ladies, because they pay more attention. They've been paying more attention for the last 22 years in this mosque. So can someone else other than God realize and know the unseen, the ghaib, or only God? A question. Yes or no? Who says yes? No, not men. Women, sisters. Yes? Yes or no? But then, some are saying no at the back. In the front they say yes, at the back they say no. But then in Surah Al-Jinn, chapter 72, God says, chapter 72, verse 26, memorize this. 72, 26, easy. Alimul Ghaib, he is the knower of, the only knower of the unseen. See? Alimul Ghaib. فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَى غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا. فَلَا يُظْهِرُ. He would not, he doesn't disclose his unseen, the knowledge of the unseen, to anyone. But then he says, but. Illa means there is an exception. He doesn't disclose the knowledge of the unseen to anyone except, save, illa man irtada min rasul. Whoever he likes to show the unseen. So the unseen belongs to him only. But sometimes God gives this power of the unseen, knowing the unseen, to certain people. إِلَّا مَنْ ارْتَضَى مِنْ رَسُولِ. And those people are not necessarily to be prophets or messengers. Some of them are ordinary people in the community. They know the unseen. Through God's disclosure to them. Not by themselves. It's impossible for them to understand the unseen. God gives them that permission. God allows them to know. God sometimes allows prophets, sometimes imams, sometimes very ordinary people. They are neither imam nor a prophet nor leaders, very ordinary citizens, such as whom? It's mentioned in the Quran. Huh? You said something? Whom? Al-Khidr. Some people argue that he was a prophet. Some people argue. And some people say he wasn't. Because he taught Musa alayhi salam. He was someone who, Musa went to him. Musa is a universal, you know, he's universal. He's one of the five top-notch prophets, Musa. So he had to study under Al-Khidr. So some people argue he is a prophet. But there is someone in the book here, in our book, that God taught. No, Ashab al-Kahf did not know about the unseen. No. The companions of the cave, they didn't know. Yes? Dr. Taqi. Asif ibn Barkhiya, yes. قال الذي عنده علم من الكتاب. He did not know the unseen. He had a superpower to transfer the throne of Balqis, the queen of Saba, Yemen, all the way to Palestine. قال الذي عنده علم من الكتاب أنا آتيك به قبل أن تقوم من مقامك قبل أن يرتد إليك طرفك. But someone in the book, God taught her. I gave you the clue. Her. Her. She's a feminine. Maryam, where is it? Show me the verse. No. Show me exactly what, where in the Quran that God taught Maryam. Where? Which passage? Which verse? Which ayah? In fact, the mother of Musa, Ahsant. The mother of Musa. See what God says about her? وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ. We revealed. We disclosed. We told her something that is going to happen in 40 years from now. 40 years. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِيهِ فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمْ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. Then this part is the unseen, the secret, the ghaib. إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْكِ وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Verily, this boy is going to come back to you. Don't worry. Nurse your baby, put him in a box, put him in the river, and leave him. Wow. Which mother can do that? A mother who waited for a long time to see her baby. A mother who protected the baby because the intelligence apparatus, they were arresting mothers. If they find that they are pregnant, they cut open their tummy and then they take the baby, and if the baby is a baby boy, they murder the baby. If the baby is a baby girl, they leave her. And Musa, for 9 months, she was hiding her pregnancy. And now that she brings the baby, and she delivers the baby, God says, put him in the river and leave him? Wow. It requires a lot of faith. And of course, if your relationship is good with God, you believe him, you trust him. You don't worry. وَلَا تَخَافِي. Don't fear. وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. Sometimes you have fear, but you have sadness. God says, neither fear nor sadness. وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. We will bring this baby to you back. Not only bring him back, we make him a leader of a nation, universal leader. وَجَعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. So God told her something about the unseen, عِلْمُ الْغَيْبِ. She's neither a prophet, nor imam, nor a leader. An average mother in the community. So God allows certain people to know the unseen. I want you to learn the debate, the Quranic debate. If you go to certain countries, especially to Hajj, and you find some of those mashayikh there, who tells you that nobody knows the unseen except God, tell him you are wrong. You memorize the book, but you don't understand it, unfortunately. You are wasting your time. Because here you are. Allah says, the mother of Moses. This is one example. And there are many examples that God said to the prophet that you're going to win. غلبت الروم في أدنى الأرض وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون في بضع سنين لله الأمر من قبل ومن بعد. God said to the prophet in many occasions that there will be a victory or there will be a defeat ahead of you. The unseen, he was telling him. So this is one part of God's monotheism, علم الغيب. The second part in this verse, ولله غيب السماوات والأرض وإليه يرجع الأمر كله. Unto God are all matters returned. What type of tawheed is this? Question. Tawheed has many dimensions. This verse, when it says, every matter goes back to God. Every movement in this universe, every motion in this universe, God is responsible for it. What type of tawheed is this? What is the title of it? What is the name? Tawheed al what? Someone is saying, yeah, you said it. Af'al, exactly. Say salawat for that lady. Tawheed al af'al, the unity of the deeds. It means that every motion in this universe, it's by God's leave. Does that include bad things? Yes or no? Huh? Who said yes? You said yes? Exactly. Including bad things. It happens with his permission. Where is that? This is in chapter 4, Surah An-Nisa. Surah An-Nisa says, وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ حَسَنَةٌ يَقُولُ هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَقُولُ هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ قُلْ كُلٌ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Every act, whether good or bad, takes place with the permission of God. Then does that mean God loves people to do evil things? Then why he gives permission? How do you solve this problem for me? There is a dilemma here. Huh? Exactly. God, everything happens in this universe, it is with his permission. Nothing can happen without his supervision and his permission. But he gives us what? Freedom of choice. Can we give an example about our daily life, about this? Yes. A father who is the source of money and wealth for his family. He's the breadwinner. He's the one who makes money. Let's say his family does not make money. So he's the one who gives his children money. The money comes from the father. But the way the money is spent, is it always from the father or sometimes they have a freedom of choice? Huh? The children, the family, they have freedom of choice. So if the children buy something bad with that money, they go and buy drugs. Who do we charge here? Do we charge the father who gave the money with good intention? Or we charge the son or the daughter? And therefore, God says, everything in this universe is with my permission. But then, he says again, in Surah An-Nisa, if you have time tonight, before you sleep, open the Quran and the translation, chapter 4, verses 78-79. This is Islamic theology, Islamic philosophy here. Speaks about free will. 78-79, chapter 4, Surah An-Nisa. Then he says, ما أصابك من حسنة فمن الله وما أصابك من سيئة فمن نفسك. Whenever good things happen to you, it's from God. Whenever bad things happen to you, though the permission is from God, but the choice is yours. فمن نفسك. You made the bad choice, not God. God does not make bad choice for you. God gives you the energy, the power. But at the same time, he says, don't do bad things. I want you to use this energy. I want you to use this power, channel it in good things, not in bad things. But then if I want to do bad things with it, does he stop me? He doesn't. Why? Because I'm not an animal. I'm a human being. I have a freedom of choice. But then he tells me about the consequences. If you do this, there are consequences. I'm not going to stop you. I'm not going, because I want you to stop yourself by yourself. But I'm going to warn you that if you do that, you have to pay the penalty later on. So that is the second type of tawheed. The first, ilmul ghayb, the knowledge of God. He is omniscient. The second is that every act in this universe returns to God. What is the third one? فَعْبُدْهُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ. What type of tawheed is this? فَعْبُدْهُ. Tawheedul. فَعْبُدْ. Therefore, only worship God. Exactly. Tawheedul ibadah. The unity of the worship. What does that mean? It means that no one is worthy of worship in this universe except God. I know sometimes some of you, you tell your wife, I worship you, but you are a liar. Your wife should not believe you. Because we only worship God. Yes, I worship you here, it means I love you. I love you. But when it comes to worship, we don't worship Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't worship Imam Ali. We don't worship Imam Hussein. We love them, but we do not worship them. We worship only God. Tawheed. Qul inna salati. Every prayer we do is for God. Qul inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. It's all dedicated to God. And if I ask Imam Hussein, in fact, I'm asking God, because sometimes God gives the keys to Imam Hussein and to Imam Ali and to sometimes to a wali. He doesn't have to be an imam. Wali, virtuous person. God says, take some of the keys. God delegates. God delegates some of his powers and jurisdictions to certain people. So, bi-idhnillah. So when you ask Imam Hussein, you are asking God. God through Imam Hussein. God through Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَعْبُدْهُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ. Trust in him. This is the most beautiful verse in the Quran. Trust in him. My friends, in Islam, we have two types of worshipping. One of them is physical, the one we just did. Okay? Even fasting is physical. Not entirely spiritual. Part of it is physical. You have to endure thirst. You have to endure hunger. But some worshippings are spiritual, ruhani. Some of them are jismani, physical. Some of them are ruhani, spiritual. Which one is better in the eyes of God? The physical or the spiritual? Definitely the spiritual. Spiritual such as what? Such as reflection, tafakkur. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. When you begin reflecting, you enjoy the worshipping. You know God better. You get to Him faster. Many Muslims today, their worshipping is only physical. This is why they get nothing out of it. It's not spiritual. This is why the hadith says, تَفَكُّرُ سَاعَةٌ. One period of reflection and meditation, خَيْرٌ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ سَبْعِينَ سَنَةٌ. Much better, more rewarding than the physical worshipping of 70 years. God does not like physical worshipping. He says, even your salat, which is physical, it has to be spiritual too. You have to think about me. When the Quran is read, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. When we read these verses in the Quran, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا. Speaks about what? About a day which is coming soon. A day. يَوْمَئِذٍ يَصْدُرُ النَّاسُ أَشْتَاتًا. On such a day, they emerge, يَصْدُر, in groups, أَشْتَاتًا لِيُرَوْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. They stand to be shown their deeds, what they did in this life. This is reflection. If we don't reflect, we don't enjoy, we don't benefit. فاعبده وتوكل عليه. So some philosophers, they say the best ibadah is al-fana'u fi Allah, to dissolve in God. What does melt or dissolve mean here? I'll give you an example. Sometimes a father loves his son or his daughter so much, then he gives his money, his wallet, his credit card, his house, his car, his everything to his son and to his daughter. But sometimes he doesn't give certain things, such as what? Such as his aspirations, such as his secrets. Sometimes a father shares his money, his house, his food, his clothing with his son, but he doesn't share his secrets. So there is a limit. No matter how much your dad loves you, there are certain things that your dad impossible for your dad to share with you. He's not going to give you everything of himself. Not himself entirely. He might give 80% to you, but he reserves 20% for himself or herself. Islam teaches us that when you give to God, you don't reserve anything for you. 100%. This is philosophers and Gnostics. They call this a process. They call it al-fana'u fillah. Fana'. You leave no room for yourself. Every cell in you is dedicated to God. I'm going to speak tomorrow, Friday prayers, about why Mary is a great lady. You know why? Because her mother, when she carried her, and the dad and the father died, Imran died, and the mother, Hannah, she was carrying the baby, she said, "Inni nadartu laka ma fi batni muharrara." This baby that I'm carrying, this baby is completely 100% dedicated to God, to serving God. This is why Mary became great. The mother did not say, "I want my daughter to go to the best school, so I feel proud of her. I brag about her. I say to people, see, my daughter, my son, he's bright, he's intelligent." She said, "Inni nadartu laka ma fi batni muharrara." Muharrara means dedicated, with no responsibility but to serve the temple. To serve the temple. This is al-fana'u fillah. And this is exactly what Ahlul Bayt did. They left nothing for themselves. Everything they had, including their blood, their soul, their heart, was dedicated to God. We concluded Surah Hud. Inshallah, we're going to begin Surah Ar-Ra'd. But let me say a word of reflection on Khanum Unije Khanum Yasai. Sometimes, my friends, you love a family because of one person. You love a whole family because of one person in that family. لِأَجْلِ عَيْنٍ أَلْفُ عَيْنٍ تُكْرَمُ. And sometimes it gets further than that. You love the whole city, the whole town because of one person. I say this with full honesty. I love Tabriz because of Hajj Ja'far Yasari. Sometimes you love the country because of one person. Because that person has so much and so many human and moral qualities. We live at an age, the age of extinction. Not extinction of the dinosaurs, but the extinction of the humans and the human qualities. But sometimes some people in the community, they remind you and they give you hope that humanity is not dead. You have hope. You have hope. And this is a man that I don't want to praise him in public, But sometimes it gets out of me without control. He did so much good things to many communities, to many orphans, to many poor people, to many hungry people. Many of them are Muslims, non-Muslims, believers, non-believers, black, white, American, non-American. And that is what is going to remain. God says, أَمَّا الزَّبَدُ فَيَذْهَبُ جُفَاءً. What you collect for entertainment in this life, what you consume, the food, the clothing, the everything, it's going to disappear. يَذْهَبُ جُفَاءً. وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ. As to what is going to benefit people and community, فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. This is going to remain forever. Remain in the land. فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. كَذَلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالِ. God provides this method, parable, for us to wake up, to understand. That whatever you spend on yourself, your clothing, your food, your vacation, your house, it's going to go. You are not going to draw benefit out of that after death. The only thing that you draw benefit out of it after death in the hereafter, أَيَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ. The help that you provide, the help, the support, the aid that you provide for people. النَّاسِ. النَّاسِ in Arabic literature does not mean Muslims. When we put Alif Lam, the article, Alif Lam, it means the whole humanity. The whole humanity. فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Let me conclude with this sentence. Islam teaches us that life, this life, is quality, not quantity. And we learn this every single day. Some people, they depend on quantity, but they go back empty-handed. Some people, they have homes, not one house, many homes, but they are not happy. Some people have many bank accounts, but they are still not happy. And some people, they don't have a house, but they are happy. They barely find food, but they are happy. Because when you have content, qana'ah, in this life, that what God has given you is very good. Accept it. And try to help others. Try to see what others don't have. Today, one of the sisters was in the office earlier. And we were thanking God and thinking about what He has given us here. You know, when I know that I am in the best place, in the best position, in the best state, when I look at the people of Yemen. 28 million people are dying, slow death of starvation. 28 million. This is a whole nation are dying right before the eyes of the world. And today in the Congress, they debate whether we should stop the aid to Saudi Arabia or not. They are still debating after 4 years of bombing, continuous campaign of bombing. We are still debating today. My friends, life is a quality, not a quantity. Be thankful to God. And try to share whatever you have, some of it, not all of it, some of it with others to bring relief, to bring happiness. You don't know how much God is going to be happy. God says when you bring happiness and a smile to one servant, you are making God happy. Because that son, that daughter, that baby is one of the dependents of God, the creatures of God. So we give condolences to the Yasai family, to Dr. Ismail, to Hajj Jafar, to his sisters, his honorable sisters, his brothers-in-law, his sisters-in-law, for the departure of their sister, Munija Khanum, who went back to her Lord, and we going to go. No exception. No exception from this trip. Some people are there already. Some people are going to be there, which is us. We're going to be there soon. And some people are going to born, but yet again they have to go back. الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الخطيئات إنك ماحي السيئات وجاعلها حسنات إنك على كل شيء قدير وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات براي شادية روحي مرحومة ماني جي يا سائي الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.